Good morning. My name is Thomas Prevenslik. I'm an American living in Hong Kong and Berlin. The title of my talk is A Link Between Vaccinations and Autism. Introduction. Autism, like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, have unknown origins and evolve genetic and environmental factors. Genetic factors are inherited, as you know. Environmental factors are acquired, including the adjuvants of less than 100 nanometer nanoparticles, NP will be nanoparticles, in vaccines to stimulate activation of antigens. And this was actually approved by the FDA about a century ago. And without adjuvants, absent adjuvants, antigen stimulation would be ineffective. So you really need the adjuvants. The FDA then, as now, considers adjuvants safe, but tests to verify safety are still incomplete. Here's a micrograph showing nanoparticle adjuvants agglomerating into clusters of about 2 to 20 microns. The scale bar here is 2 microns, so you can see the extent. But notice out here at the periphery, there's also some And the toxicity of the nanoparticles located at the periphery of the clusters have been largely ignored by the FDA. They have done some work on the 2 to 20 microns, but not on the nanoparticles that we're going to be talking about today. Now, the nanoparticles and nanotechnology. Let's just briefly forget about autism. Okay, let's just look at nanoparticles and nanotechnology. And our experiments over two decades show adding nanoparticles to biological fluids damage DNA. And the protection of consumer health by labeling of products having nanoparticles would help. For example, here you see nanotechnology needs labeling, and nanoparticles have been linked to these health problems. Here's Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and others. At the bottom here is neurodegenerative disease, for example, autism. Now, the diversity of these diseases suggests to me, at least, that the genes are somewhat, or somehow, randomly scrambled. Somehow. And then the question then, of course, how did nanoparticles scramble with DNA? In 2003, nanoparticles were correlated with ROS, and ROS stands for reactive oxygen species, for example, hydroxyl radicals and superoxides. ROS caused by nanoparticle high surface to volume ratio was given as a reason, but this doesn't really explain physically what is happening. And it went on, and in 2008, some 5 years later, PDT, which is photodynamic therapy, was used to treat cancer tumors by infrared heating. And in that approach, they used gold nanoparticles attached to the tumor, and they used an IR laser, which increased the nanoparticle temperature. You add heat to something, you get an increase in temperature. This was the thinking. Now, the tumor growth was found to cease, but the DNA damage was not measured. That was in 2008. Some 8 years later, almost a decade later, PDT with silver nanoparticles was performed. And what they found, but here they measured the DNA, and they found DNA damage in lung cancer cells. So the question now arises after walking through this, did the nanoparticles create the ROS that damaged the DNA? Okay. Now, DNA damaged by UV. Since multi-photon infrared can be used to produce UV, but these processes are very unlikely. this has been used to, as a substitute for UV, but it quite impossible. The ROS requires electromagnetic radiation at UV levels about 5 EV. Since solar UV cannot penetrate the skin, ROS have nothing to do with DNA damage of internal organs. In other words, the DNA damage observed in internal organs could not have been caused by ROS. This is a minor conclusion here. With vaccination with nanoparticles less than 100 nanometers in the blood produce UV that create ROS anywhere in the body, which is what I'll be proposing here. But what we find is that, and you will see this later, that the nanoparticles less than 20 nanometers, less than the 100, but produce extreme ultraviolet, EUV, which is a step beyond the UV. And the only what happens then is the EUV fluoresces, excites the lower nanoparticle quantum states, for example, EUV, ROS, and VIS plasmon resonances. VIS plasmon resonances have been used to explain the behavior of nanoparticles, but you'll see that they're really a subset of all the excitation. You're really producing extreme ultraviolet, which is knocked down to the VIS level. However, the EUV fluorescent efficiency, they're saying going from EUV to UV, is less than 10%. What this is saying is that nanoparticles greater than 20 nanometers are more efficient in producing UV. The higher the better, closer to 100 nanometers. The purpose of this talk then is to show that adjuvant nanoparticles in vaccinations produce electromagnetic radiation that not only excites the antigens to invoke greater immune system responses, which is what you want, but also, unfortunately, damages the DNA leading to autism. So the nanoparticles do two things. One good is to excite the antigens, and the second part is it damages the DNA leading to autism. So we're caught up in this. Analysis. Causal relation. The Planck law of QM here. QM will be quantum mechanics. Simple QED. Vaccinations and DNA damage. Causal relationship. Nanoparticles to autism. DNA is damaged by EUV radiation produced from nanoparticles in the environment that enter the bloodstream of the human body in vaccination. That's the causal relationship. Here's the Planck law of quantum mechanics. On the ordinary, you see the Planck energy of the atom in electron volts, and on the abscissa, the electromagnetic confinement wavelength in microns. On the right, you see the KT energy, 0.0258 electron volts. This is the KT energy of the atom at 300 degrees Kelvin. If you plot this equation, which you all know, out at 300 Kelvin, you get this yellow curve, and here quantum mechanics is noted. However, if you notice here, I've shown classical physics by this dotted line, and it doesn't drop off. It's constant all the way out as far as you can go. So when you assume the atom has KT energy, you're really assuming classical physics, which is okay up in here, maybe greater than 100 microns, but certainly not at the nanoparticle level down here. So under electromagnetic confinement at lambda less than 100 nanometers over here, quantum mechanics requires the atoms in the nanoparticles to have vanishing heat capacity. That means they cannot increase in temperature. So how do you show that happen? What is the characteristic of a nanoparticle that allows it to do that? And it's really the high surface to volume ratio. And when you do that, the atoms are automatically confined over less than 100 nanometers. Okay. Simple QED. What is this? Well, in nanoparticles, simple QED converts heat, Q, into EM radiation because quantum mechanics precludes conservation by temperature. I just showed you that the atom under high electromagnetic confinement has no heat capacity. So you cannot conserve heat by increasing temperature. Simple QED is not the complex light and matter interaction advanced by Feynman and others. You can forget that. And what it really says, very simply, is that heat, if you add it to a nanoparticle, that somehow does not have heat capacity, by whatever means, you have to produce electromagnetic radiation. Here I show a nanoparticle, diameter D. Here's heat Q coming in. It all goes to the surface. Why? High surface to volume ratio. Now this energy that you see here in yellow is electromagnetic energy. So it's going to act as a confinement to the nanoparticle. No temperature change by quantum mechanics. And because of this confinement, this energy has to be conserved into a wave, a standing wave, having lambda over 2 equal to d. Okay, and from that you get simple QED radiation. Here E is the Planck energy, H is Planck's constant, C is the speed of light. N here is the refractive index of the nanoparticle, and D is the diameter. Now for small nanoparticles, I alluded to earlier, you're going to produce extreme ultraviolet. And it will force down to UV levels, ROS levels, and VIS plasmon resonance. So you get the bug, but there's an efficiency here. But nevertheless, you're going to excite all these from extreme ultraviolet. Frequency of the simple QED radiation. C is the velocity of light divided by N, the refractive index. Lambda here is a wavelength, and lambda over 2 is equal to D. The Planck energy is H times the frequency. N here is the number of simple QED photons created. It takes the heat Q provided here and divided by the energy of a photon E. Okay. Now, how do you relate vaccinations to DNA damage? Here I show a simple QED wavelength that I just showed you, lambda in nanometers, on this on the ordinate, and on the abscissally nanoparticle diameter D in nanometers. And I show this for aluminum hydroxide, which is a common aluminum in adjuvant. It has a refractive index of 1.57, and lambda is equal to 2 in D. So this is what's being plotted here. If you take UVC at 254 nanometers and come over and down, it turns into the nanoparticle diameter of about 80 nanometers. And the DNA damage is significant. The pyrimidine dimer damage, which is a replication, will occur for all nanoparticle diameter is less than 80 nanometers. And this occurs by EUV fluorescence, as I mentioned earlier. The summary, the U.S. having the highest vaccine schedule, or the greatest number of vaccines, has higher autism rates compared to countries that do not vaccinate. And the U.S. has a 70% increase in autism over the last 30 years. The genes in a population do not change in a 5-year span, so I've been told. What this means is simple QED suggests that UV radiation from adjuvants and vaccines alters genes more rapidly. And then you have to ask the question, how does UV alter the genes? The proposal? Here I show the current autism theory. And this is by other people in the field who believe aluminum adjuvants cause autism. And what they argue is the aluminum adjuvant, when you have the injection of the vaccine that has the adjuvant particles travel into the brain, and then ILC production occurs to activate the IL-6, which is really an inflammation, and that in turn leads to autism. What I'm proposing is a little different. Autism is caused by simple QED, induces nanoparticles of aluminum to produce extreme ultraviolet radiation that activates the inflammatory interleukin 6 cytokine to scramble the genes of DNA in the brain. And of course, that's connected with the central nervous system. How about the UV light? Where is this UV light coming from? The current theory is sunlight provides exogenous, by exogenous I mean external UV. By UVC at 254 nanometers, which we just looked at, is absorbed in the ozone layer, so it can't get to the earth. Only UVB between 283 and 320 nanometers damages, again, skin DNA. But whether it can go further than that is questionable, but anyhow, it could lead in the skin to cancer. And whether it suppresses the immune system or alters gene expression, that's somewhat questionable because it's only in the skin. Now, what I'm going to propose here is in vaccinations, aluminum nanoparticles bypass the skin. They don't have that problem to directly enter the blood, reaching the brain, to produce endogenous, this is inside, internal UVC. And it's actually greater than the UV that given by the current theory. And that damages the DNA and scrambles the genes, leading to autism and other neurological diseases. Now, UV-induced IL-6. And the inflammatory cytokines, IL-6 and others, access the central nervous system and interact with the brain to influence autism. IL-6 is thought to enter the brain by 5 micron microfissures. That's not necessary. Simple QED claims that the nanoparticles in vaccination emit EUV that produce IL-6 directly in the brain. The CDC vaccination schedule over the first 6 months of newborn life is shown here. This is the aluminum concentration at birth, at 2 months, 4 months, and 6 months. A significant amount of nanoparticles being introduced to the brain. The conclusion, pre-vaccination ELISA test. By ELISA, I mean enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay, quite common, for high IL-6 levels should be of newborns, should minimize the nanoparticle-induced brain damage. If the newborn has a high IL-6 level, you don't want to vaccinate. But the CDC does not yet have a autism test for newborns. Only a vaccination screening questionnaire for parents. Until then, that is, until the CDC has a test, they should require IL-6 tests of newborns before the prescribed schedule of vaccination. If IL-6 levels are high, no vaccination. Autism aside, forgetting autism, hepatitis B vaccinations at birth in the U.S. containing aluminum nanoparticles should stop immediately. Extension, because of the time, I only can talk about one, Alzheimer's and DNA damage. Amyloid plaque comprises straight unbranching fibrils from UV polymerization of peptides that damage the DNA of neurons. Here I show a normal neuron And here is one with Alzheimer's. You can see the amyloid plaques are shown here, and there's also some tangles. And what I'm arguing is similar to what I've argued already. Electromagnetic radiation is produced by these nanoparticles in the plaque and in the fibrilly tangles. And again, here you have HD over 2ND. One step further, here's the wavelength again versus the diameter. Now the amyloid fibrils that you see here, the D here is not the diameter, these are fibrils, they're cylinders, so it's the shortest dimension, which is D, which is the diameter. This is the Planck energy produced, HC over 2ND. And again, if you, the 254 comes out around 90, and the DNA damage, again, to the pyrimidine dimer, all the fibril diameters D less than 90 nanometer are going to do damage to the neurons. Political discussions, why? Well, in science you have to look at politics because they control the funding. And anyway, I'm going to talk briefly about Obama and Monsanto and Trump and vaccinations. U.S. politics with Obama. In 2010, Obama appointed Taylor, former Monsanto vice president, as the FDA commissioner for food. At the time, this raised quite a few eyebrows. Before leaving office in 2016, Obama signed the Monsanto Protection Act into law. The law states that even if future research shows GM food causes significant health problems, for example, cancer, the federal courts have no power to stop the sales of GM food. GM here stands for genetically modified food. U.S. politics again block science and nanoparticle safety. But you always get around the problem in the U.S., and what you do, you go to court, and in this case, the U.S. court awarded J&J, this is Johnson & Johnson, they make baby powder, as you all know, $110 million U.S. on cancer from talcum powder. Now, how is Trump any different? Well, in 2016, candidate for President Trump is quoted as saying, "When I was growing up, autism wasn't really a factor. And now all of a sudden it's an epidemic. Everybody has their theory, and my theory is the shots. They're getting these massive injections at one time. I think it's the vaccination." Now this was Trump in 2016. Now in 2019, not vaccinations, but in a nanoparticle-related health effect, Trump ordered Roundup, which is a herbicide, cleared by the Environmental Protection Agency, despite the U.S. court award of $78 million to a gardener for cancer and using the Roundup. This was at the San Francisco court. But irregardless, Trump should encourage future legislation to be enacted that bans nanoparticles not only from vaccines, but from baby and genetically modified food. Well, that's all I have. If you have questions and papers, this is my email address, and this is my homepage. Take a look at my homepage. You may see some things that interest you. Thank you very much.